Welcome back to Tech and Law Insights. I'm your host, Rupa, and today we're thrilled to have for episode number 8, Carl Rost on the show. He's a leader right now in IP and AI. Carl is the head of consulting at PathSnap, who's helped some of the most innovative companies align their IP strategy with product development and market dynamics. He's also been on the cutting edge of AI-powered legal tools, most notably with PathSnap GPT, an LLM-driven platform revolutionizing how teams conduct patent searches and develop products. Carl, welcome to the show.
Hi, yeah, thanks, Rupa. Yeah, excited to be on the show.
Carl's work sits on the intersection of AI, law, and business. And let's get started, Carl. You describe your role as bridging IP, R&D, and business strategy. So what drew you into this unique intersection?
Yeah, and I think it's based upon my slightly unusual transition from working on the commercial and business side in various sales roles, customer management roles in my youth, to moving to the technical side. So that gives me kind of a unique understanding of customers' priorities, but also how to make things work in real life.
Could you tell us about your solution to those problems that you encountered as a business consultant and technologist? Can you tell us about PathSnap GPT?
Yeah, like I think what would be useful is to tell you a little bit first about PathSnap. So PathSnap at its core, you know, we've been around for a long time. We are a patent search database. We are bringing together over 172 jurisdictions data, and for many years just provided various functionality to search and analyze that information. We were quickly sort of profiled as a technology leader, and some years back now, we started our development for our own proprietary large language model, PathSnap GPT, which is a domain-specific second-tier derived language model that's been trained on our entire corpus of patent data. It's an extremely useful tool and an unusual approach. Most of our, I think everyone in our field has possibly done fine tunes and things like that. We have completely reset the model weights and retrained the model entirely. So what does that mean? Well, we have a domain-specific model that is incredibly good at getting things right. It's certainly not as large as, you know, O3 Pro and the latest frontier models, but it has an unusually low hallucination rate in orders of magnitude. Like, for example, they have a nearly 30% lower hallucination rate in the IP domain versus Claude and DeepSeek's latest models. And that's quite something. And yeah, very important when you're dealing with such important matters as patents and IP and innovation.
Wow, that's a significantly large upgrade over, you know, the standard tools out there. And that's very impressive. Could you speak a little bit more to how training PathSnap GPT has changed for its users the traditional patent workflows, you know, for search or even competitive business intelligence?
Yeah, so we've implemented PathSnap GPT in a number of ways. For example, we have agentic novelty and freedom to operate search. This is orchestrated by PathSnap GPT and takes a kind of a multi-step, multi-agent approach to both kind of generating various searches, both keyword searches, as well as sort of semantic searches, reviewing the results and compiling it all into a final report. We made some tangible progress and the output of our novelty and freedom to operate agents is significantly better than what previous AI search, such as, you know, regular semantic search, you know, putting in a text block, getting results, can bring. It's still not quite at the level of an expert professional searcher, but we made significant headway towards it.
That's really incredible. And so you're mentioning there are still some risk to automating parts of the patent process. And how do you think about the human in the loop here?
Yes. So we're taking a number of approaches to that. So with the agentic workflow, the human in the loop element comes in at the very end. It allows users to kind of verify the accuracy of the report, decide to possibly include some results manually if needed, change which patents are highlighted. There's also a human in the loop element that helps the algorithm focus on particular technical features or elements of the text that is presented by the user initially. So you have that control in the beginning as well as the end. This for a professional patent searcher, someone who does this every day, mm-hmm. this will be lead to significant time savings, but it would also it would be just a part of their search approach. They would possibly kind of supplement the outcomes from the agentic novelty search with some manual investigation, editing the report manually, taking a few different approaches. For those that are expert searchers, we are also developing some solutions that give the user even more control, such as a query generation workflow, where instead of having an agent do the search and review for you, you enter in the text, the tool seeks your guidance along the way in the design of the queries that it's about to run, and then the human runs the final queries and reviews the results semi-manually with the help either by simply reading it or through AI assisted document by document reading. So we have both kind of a more automatic approach with the agentic workflow, where the input is a little bit more limited and you may need to use additional approaches for a truly comprehensive search, as well as this human in the loop AI assisted query building. That's what we're doing there. I hope that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, thank you for that incredibly detailed answer. And I want to just pull more of your advising and your advice for companies for the next question. And, you know, how do you advise companies as they use PATS Now GPT to align IP strategy with their product roadmap? Is there any common mistakes you see for our startup audience members and founders?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And I think that there's some pretty large deficiencies and shortcomings of traditional landscaping methods. So we will see possibly seeing these landscape reports. They have statistics, they show frequencies, some trend lines to help us understand where our portfolio is at versus our product roadmap and potential gaps. But there's only so far that kind of bean counting essentially can bring you. And we are developing some really exciting future product releases that will allow for a more human-like more comprehensive landscape assessment.
Wow.
So, for example, PatSnap has developed incredibly detailed and accurate AI titles for every patent record in our database, over 200 million. And this allows us, together with having a local LLM, to do some amazing things. So the problem with taking an entire portfolio and saying, how suitable is my portfolio versus the product roadmap that we're planning, is that that information, the volume of information, completely overwhelms the LLMs or the AIs. You know, imagine there's thousands of documents, patents are really long, it definitely quickly loses kind of loses its overview of the data as a whole. But what we found is that when we feed just the AI titles into the model, and I recently presented on this at the IPBC conference in Boston. So what we did is we took Microsoft's and Google's AI portfolio. We fed just the AI generated titles of that slice of the portfolio to our AI, and we asked it to summarize the portfolio, to compare the portfolios, to identify gaps in the portfolio, and it managed to do so with an incredibly accurate and well kind of presented, very human-like assessment. So compare the output that our AI managed to do versus, you know, perhaps a human reading these thousands of documents, pondering, thinking about, okay, what does this all mean collectively, and how does this how does this relate to our future product development needs, to, for example, showing some classification statistics or some trend lines that are very difficult to relate and sort of draw insights on, if that makes sense. So what we saw made us all drop our jaws, essentially, and everyone that's seen this so far are essentially flabbergasted. What it managed to do was to it had this quote about Google's AI portfolio that I'll never forget. It called it Google is trying to be the rich media room owner, while Microsoft's AI portfolio is more office-centric and trying to improve first-pass accuracy and so on. So yeah, it managed to describe it and put sort of very human words to what a portfolio's profile is and what it lacks, perhaps, and how it then possibly then relates to future plans. So we could ask the AI, okay, so if Google's portfolio is the rich media room, and their product roadmap involves, let's say, more office-centric solutions, then the AI would be able to highlight that and explain what's needed. So that's that we see that as the new kind of era, the future of landscaping.
What a brilliant and like creative and human like tool that you guys have built. I want to fast forward in 5 to 10 years, like what might PatSnap GPT look like, and what might innovation pipeline look like, or product roadmap look like, powered by PatSnap GPT?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because you find that the frontier models, they're becoming increasingly expensive to create and increasingly intelligent, but they don't really resolve kind of some issues around domain specificity. They're a little bit too general, and they still have kind of significant hallucination rates. So what we are testing at the moment is combinations. So we are inserting PatSnap's search and database through RAG into the reasoning process, off these frontier models, then we're passing responses from the frontier models to PatSnap GPT, which is a smaller model that then kind of cleans it from hallucinations and reduces inaccuracies. So we, as this field is evolving, organizations that don't have the resources like Google and Microsoft may not be able to compete with the general intelligence of these frontier models. However, we still think that these domain-specific models are crucial to ensure that sort of the professional applicability or suitability of these models, because we in the IP space, for example, you cannot afford to get things wrong. So we think that PatSnap GPT is certainly evolving. 2.0 is coming out. We're reducing hallucinations further. We're increasing kind of transparency in the model and cross-referencing and hyperlinking results, etc. But we think that this blended approach of frontier models with a domain-specific model may be the recipe as these frontier models becoming increasingly large and expensive.
That's incredibly clever. And you're able to serve a lot of domains really well this way. And I'm just curious, what domains or technologies are you most excited to see intersecting with IP next? You write about how we see AI is improving R&D and product building from generative music to drug discovery.
Mm-hmm. There's two things I'm excited about. One is our ventures into supporting kind of the innovation process a little bit more broadly. For example, we have released agents that do automated failure mode analysis. So not related to patents at all. It takes your concept, breaks it into subtopics, and it's kind of stress tests those and tries to figure out what could go wrong and how to remediate that. Speeding up or enabling some organizations that don't do DFMEA, as it's called, that failure analysis formally, and enable them to actually do that. We also, similar to that, we released some feasibility assessment tools, and perhaps the most talked about tool of them all, which is our ideation engine that's powered by TRIS and AI. TRIS is an old invented methodology. It's been around for 70 years, but we've essentially turned it into an AI version and combined it with a few different approaches, allowing the tool to kind of generate potential inventive directions and product development improvements, etc. So that one is certainly talked about, and it's very exciting to kind of go beyond IP to support the broader sort of innovation lifecycle. That's one thing. The second thing, more IP focused, that I'm excited about, is that we will shortly release the world's first fully LLM powered classifier. When you have a portfolio or you have a space, a technology space that you've defined through some searches or whatnot, translating that to insights, such as, we see that many patents in that category versus that one, is difficult and typically requires manual assessment, and existing machine learning discriminative AI tends to be quite bad at distinguishing nuanced topics. If it's like cat food versus like chocolate, it does a great job. But if it, for example, needs to distinguish between generative AI and general AI, then it could struggle. So that's because a lot of the information needed to determine if a patent is this or that, when the text is nuanced and varied, may even not be in the records themselves. It might be external, right? So we're moving from this ML-based approach that we've had for some time to full kind of text ingestion. So the AI, the LLM will look at the text, it would reason, it would use its external knowledge, and then apply a tag to a patent. And this can then finally solve accurate bucketing, so to speak, of patents into various categories, depending on what your business needs are, without needing hundreds of subject matter experts and R&D to kind of read each patent manually and assign them a tag. So yeah, the first sort of LLM-based AI tagger, at least the first one that's capable of working at scale with large quantities of data. I know there's one or two solutions out there that can do, you know, 50, 100, 200 patents, but we're talking about LLM processing of tens of thousands of records and assigning relevant categories to them. So yeah, that's a development that we're seeing that I'm excited about.
That sounds truly incredible. I am really looking forward to the launch. As a developer and founder myself, I would definitely use that. And I want to just ask our final question for today, Carl. You have given so much technical detail to your work. Thank you so much. I want to turn to kind of some comments from the USPTO office. They recently reaffirmed that only humans, not AI, can be listed as inventors, even if AI played a big role in the invention itself. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, that's a sensible approach. I think having it would be quickly lead to a very interesting situation if entirely AI-generated inventions could be patented and protected. It would quickly close the space to protect human inventions. So that's something we've very much kept in mind when developing our inventive engine, this find solutions, as we call it, technology, the TRIS technology I was discussing earlier. So as long as the AI only guides and advises, and that the human ultimately makes the decisions, you should be in the clear in terms of USPTO guidelines. So like, for example, the output from our inventive engine still requires a lot of development work. It might point you in the right direction, but it's not going to do the entire work for you. So we've seen, so there's disclosure requirements if you use AI-assisted sort of inventive methodologies. And as long as you disclose this appropriately and document the human effort in concretizing, selecting, developing these AI-based recommendations, everyone should be A-OK. Yeah.
Carl, this has been such a rich conversation. Your work building tools for builders is incredibly motivating.
I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you, Carl. I certainly hope to have you back for a future episode. You've helped us see how IP is a lens for identifying opportunity and accelerating innovation. To our listeners, if you're building something new, IP should be at the table from the beginning. And Carl Rost just gave us a masterclass on why. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share with a founder, lawyer, or CTO in your life. Until next time, keep building boldly.